day, we want to be refreshed by the Lord. And we want to hear from God. So we ask, Holy Spirit, please come. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place with your presence and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we've been going through the book of Acts, right? And we're just about done. We have maybe three or four more lessons, but we're going back to Acts 2 just for today. We're not going to go another lap around Acts. But today is Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is the 50th day after Easter, the 10th day after the ascension of our Lord. And originally, Pentecost was a Jewish holiday, if you will, of a festival or the harvest. And so you had this is one of the feasts that they would come to Jerusalem. So on this Pentecost, to get the picture, you have people, Jewish people, from all over the world, all over the earth, if you will, coming to Jerusalem when something miraculous happens. So today, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about earth, wind, and fire. And if you're old like me, we're not talking about that group or any of your songs. And I hope that doesn't bring a negative connotation from the past and some things that maybe you shouldn't be thinking about. That's the chance I take about this title, but hopefully it does capture what we're going to talk about today, earth, wind, and fire. Because when the Holy Spirit came to the earth, He came in wind, He came in fire, and He changed everything as when the Holy Spirit came down to earth. So Holy Spirit, be with us as we not just celebrate and talk about the Holy Spirit, but experience the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what it's all about, is experiencing Him. And I pray that God would really come to us, each one of us, through His Spirit, and we would indeed experience the Holy Spirit throughout the day and into the week. All right, let's look at our outline. Hopefully you have one. First of all, the Holy Spirit came, this is very interesting, when the believers were waiting on Him. Jesus told them, right before He ascended to heaven in Acts 1, He said, now don't go rushing out and doing my work with your power. Don't do that. But wait in the city. What city would that be? Jerusalem, right? Wait in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. So He said, now don't go out until you're dressed properly. Okay? I want you to wait until you're clothed from power from on high, then go out, go all through the earth. But don't do it on your own power. So the Bible says that they were indeed together, and the disciples were worshiping, were praying, we're rejoicing, and we're united. And I got that from various passages. And one is from Luke 24, verses 51 and 52. And in that, the Bible says this. After His disciples had worshipped Him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they spent all their time in the temple praising and worshipping God. They were full of joy. It says, not just a little joy. In the Greek, it means great joy. They were filled with this great joy when they saw their Lord go into heaven. They were just ecstatic, literally ecstatic with great joy that came from the Lord. Now, that brings a question. How much joy do we have in our faith? Is it like, ho-hum, when's it over? My stopwatch must have stopped here. He's going too long, and what do we do? Hopefully, our faith brings us explosive joy, great joy. Like Pastor Daniel talked about when he was here 2 weeks ago. We want to have that joy and that peace. But they were together. The disciples were united and waiting for God, waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were worshiping. And it says in Acts 1, they were praying. Acts 1 says, Acts I believe 1:14, it says, let's see here. The disciples often met together and prayed with a single purpose in mind. They were united and were praying together. And you'll notice in the notes there, the word united in the Greek literally means to breathe hard together. I just found this out. Very interesting. To breathe hard together. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, if you're breathing hard, you're exerting energy, right? So they were all intense and passionate about their faith and waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were praying earnestly, not like, oh, thou, we beseech thee to please come. Amen. It was, God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Send your power. We want what you want to give us, Lord, and bless us. And we bless your name. We worship you. But anyway, they were filled with this joy, filled with this passion. And the word means to breathe hard together. Well, if you're breathing hard together, you have this passion, and you're exerting energy. And it's interesting that all were breathing hard together because there was this energy and passion and unity. They were united. It wasn't like a few people doing it, others kind of, not really there. Everybody was together, all on one page. And what happens when you have a team at work or in sports when everybody's together and they're all breathing hard together and passionate? That's when it's neat, whether it be a work team or a sports team or church, when everybody's together, right? Pitching together, all one, one for all and all for one, was that? And all one body, but everybody different, everybody being understanding their differences, but coming together. That is fascinating, and it's awesome when that happens. That's what was going on with the disciples. They were united. The Bible says, make every effort to have unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It says that we should accept one another and prefer others over ourselves. We should care for one another, love one another, that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak, and we should lay aside our ideas and what we think is best and what we know is right, and deference, and in love and care to others. And it's powerful when that happens. And the disciples did that. Later on in Acts 2, it says they were one heart and one mind. They even gave up some of their property for the sake of others. They didn't have to. It wasn't communism. But they just willingly said, we want to take care of one another. And they had this wonderful love and unity. What about the churches today? What is so sad, we mentioned this Wednesday night when Pastor Daniel was here, is that we see all across our nation division in the house, division in families, broken families, division in churches, disunity, grumbling, complaining, arguing, murmuring, I want this way, I want that way, I want it this way. This is not Burger King, have it your way, is it? We want to do what the King has, have it His way, and focus on Him. And I know if I take my focus off Jesus and I just see His picture looking right at me now, when I focus on Him, everything else is in perspective. And if I take my eyes off Jesus and on to people or problems, there goes my peace and there goes the power of the Holy Spirit every time. And yesterday I was really intense and praying for hours that, and it really, God struck this spirit of unity is a precious, precious blessing. To have unity in the bond of the Spirit, both in the families and in churches. Amen? Amen. So that's number one. The Holy Spirit came when the believers were waiting and were unified. Secondly, the Holy Spirit came upon the earth like a mighty wind. Probably three weeks ago, I was in Sierra Vista preaching there. And it was very windy. I mean, and it was windy here. That was that day, remember, where they had some damage here in Phoenix? But I tell you, I'm sorry, you had wind here? Nothing like they had down there. Oh my goodness, with all the open spaces and the mountains and off to the side. The wind was so intense, it was crazy. I was ready to go, and Kelly called me, had a prayer for me. I appreciate that very much. I was driving, drinking my coffee, going from the hotel to the church, trying to find the church without getting lost. I didn't get lost for once. Yay, I know. Yeah. Anyway, I got there, and the wind was unbelievable. I put my coffee cup on the top of my car. The wind blew the coffee cup and the coffee every which way on my tie, right, over on the car. In fact, I've still got some remnants on the car I need to wash off. But it was amazing, the wind. And then afterwards, I went to the gas station, and I'm not kidding you, it took all your effort to keep walking toward the door to go in to buy my Pepsi, because it was crazy. I mean, it was intense. I really had to want that Pepsi to walk, because it was, I can't even describe how strong that wind was. It was unbelievable. I mean, little kids were almost rolling down the street. It was that bad. It was unbelievable. Well, here in Pentecost, it wasn't the wind, but something like the wind came in and filled that upper room where all the disciples were, and it was awesome. This mighty noise like a wind came upon the earth, came in that room, and it was very noticeable. You couldn't just go, oh, well, now we had a little interruption there, back to page 15. It got the disciples' attention and those around the church, outside the church, their attention. When this mighty wind, one time that happened, church in Ahwatukee, we had a dust devil, keep that term, come into the church. And it blew in all this dust, and it was like coming in, and it almost kept its form as it came into the right in the entryway. And it was really weird. I mean, it was this, but it didn't bring clean air. It brought dirt and everything else. We don't want that kind of a wind. But this was a clean, refreshing wind that showed itself and the Holy Spirit in great power. And it filled the house. It filled the room with this wind. Now, if we think about that, the wind, you can't see the wind. You can see the dust it picks up, but you can't see the wind, right? Jesus talked about that to Nicodemus, this great religious teacher who knew all about religion but knew nothing about the new birth, right? And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't come into the kingdom of heaven, and you can't come into be born again unless the Spirit leads you. And it's like the wind blows, and you can't figure out where it's going, where it's come from. You can't see it, but you see the effects. The wind is invisible and comes from above. Interesting. And the same with the Holy Spirit. Can't see the Holy Spirit, but He came from above just like the wind, but certainly, hopefully, you can see the effects of the Holy Spirit, right? Like a mighty wind. Powerful. That's the next thing. The wind is powerful and brings energy, and so does the Holy Spirit. In fact, in California, when you go to L.A., you see those wind farms, right? You see, I remember the first time my kids and I, we took that route. We were like, Dad, what are those whirligigs? What the world is this all about? What is that? And it was a wind farm, harnessing the energy from the wind and the power of the wind. Well, in the same way, the Holy Spirit comes with great power and great energy, and He certainly woke up the disciples. That was a Sunday morning, by the way. Think about this. God created the world the first day of creation on Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday. And the Holy Spirit was giving on a Sunday. The Trinity involved in its work three times on a Sunday. Interesting. That's why we gather on a Sunday, most of us, to worship Him. But the whole thing of the Holy Spirit bringing power sometimes makes us in the church realize that the church has come a long way from that power. J.B. Phillips writes in the preface to The Young Church in Action that one cannot spend several months in close study of this book, of the book of Acts, like we're doing, without being profoundly stirred and, to be honest, disturbed. The reader is stirred, he says, because he's seeing Christianity, the real thing, in action for the first time in human history. Here we're seeing the church in its first youth, valiant and unspoiled, a body of ordinary men and women joined in an unconquerable fellowship never before seen on earth. But the reader is also disturbed, for surely is the church as it was meant to be. This is when it was the way it was meant to be. It was vigorous and flexible, for there are days before it ever became fat and short of breath through prosperity or muscle-bound by over-organization. These men did not make acts of faith. They believed. They did not say their prayers. They prayed. They did not hold conferences on psychosomatic medicine. They simply healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out demons. What has happened? But when the Spirit came, He turned the world upside down because there was power. And where has that power gone, right? This is not meant to be a lecture about the Holy Spirit. One African-American preacher preached one Pentecost. He said this: when God sends forth the Spirit, amazing things happen. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed. Opposites are reconciled. Unity is established. Disease is cured. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races are reconciled. Hope is established. People are blessed. And church happens. Today the Spirit of God is present, and we're going to have church. Amen? I love that. I love it. Just so be ready. Get ready. God is up to something. Discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, fess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Closed folks, open up. Gossipers, shut up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folks, fire up. Dry bones, shake up. And pew potatoes, stand up. I love that. Amen. Amen. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that does all that. It shakes things up and wakes things up and brings life and energy and joy and power. The year was 1930. And it was the year of the Naval Conference in London. King George was to address the opening session. Radio was in its infancy, but through the media, the King's message was to be carried around the world. Just before the King was to go on the air, Walter Vivian, a young engineer of the Columbia Broadcasting Company, discovered a broken wire in the transmitter. I hate when that happens right before something, you know, right before. There was a tragedy in the air. What are we going to do? There's no time for repairs. And the whole world was waiting to hear the message of the King. The young engineer discovered what to do. He took a piece of broken wire in one hand and a piece of broken wire in the other hand, and for 15 minutes, Walter Vivian took 250 volts of electricity through his body so that the king's message might go through. Wonderful. The way the world is waiting to hear the message of the king, capital K, and the only way for that message to go through to a needy, broken world is for us to be allowed to be used to have his message transmitted through us. We are called to be part of that transmission and let the Holy Spirit empower us and use us and work through us. The problem is we many times set down the wire, the power of the Holy Spirit, and want nothing to do with that and just have religion. And that's not why the Holy Spirit came. Amen? He did not come to start another religion. He did not come for that reason. So the wind comes with power and energy, but also in our outline, the wind brings a breath of fresh air, or it can, hopefully, right? Sometimes it's stagnant here, and a wind will come into the valley of the sun and take out all the smog. And that's what the breath of God does. Think about how was Adam created. God breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. That's pretty intimate. God did CPR on him, breathed his life into him, and he was created. And throughout the Bible, there's this picture of the breath of God coming in and breathing life into the church. Ezekiel 37, you had dead, dry bones out in the desert all over, and God breathed life into those skeletons, and they became a living army for God. And throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon men and women, and they would be totally changed, and new life would come into them, a new energy, and a breath of fresh air would come to the church and to the people of God. And you think about how the word for wind in Hebrew is the same word for breath and for spirit, ruach. The ruach, the wind of God, the breath of God comes and breathes new life into the church, and it's like the church gets CPR. Because many places the church is dying, it's dead, it's comatose, it's in a coma, it's unconscious, and it's time for the church to wake up. And so the Holy Spirit wants to breathe CPR, His breath of life, into the dry, dead bones of religion and have people come alive in the Spirit, right? He really wants that to happen. And we shouldn't have to have a pastor from Uganda, all the way from Uganda, come in and tell us about it. We should have that Spirit of God vibrating and hovering in us and moving in us. So that's the question. What about today? Holy Spirit, revive the church. Bring new life and a breath of fresh air into our churches. Amen. Well, see, the Holy Spirit also came, not just like wind upon the earth, but also like a wild fire. There was these tongues that looked like tongues of fire setting on top of every disciple. And of course, later they spoke in different languages. And the Spirit took control of these disciples, and they went out and they're talking different languages. And these men are going, the people, the townspeople are going, whoa, this is weird. They're speaking my language. You're talking my language. And I know you're from Galilee. They were amazed and confused and perplexed and wondering, what in the world is going on here? But the fire of God came upon them. And what does fire do? It consumes. Anything that a mighty fire will consume. And the same way, the Holy Spirit consumes the garbage in our lives. I was thinking about that. Fire purifies and consumes. And I started praying, what is in me that God wants to consume? Dirty thoughts, selfish thoughts, fearful thoughts, anxious thoughts. What's the garbage that God's fiery Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wants to come in and consume the garbage in my life and stir up a holy passion for Him? And fire purifies, and the Holy Spirit purifies us. He wants to purify us so we can be used. Fire at times can move without being stopped. Unquenchable, uncontainable, wildfire we call it, right? Where it moves and jumps from one tree to the next, one house to the next, and just keeps on moving. And even firemen, all the technology can't stop it, and they have to wait for an opportune time because it's uncontrollable, and it's wild, and it can't be contained. But we contain the Holy Spirit many, 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 many times. We try to contain Him because, well, that's not comfortable for me. And God wants to shake up, and He will not be contained. He will go to a place where He's welcome, where He's allowed to move the way He wants to move. And the reason we were red is, what's red? It reminds us of our heart, reminds us of passion, and we are called to be on fire for Jesus Christ. on fire for Him. Amen? The Bible says, fan into flame the gift of God from 2 Timothy 1:7. God's Spirit wants to move in us and not be extinguished. How about today? Well, finally, the disciples spread the fire by declaring the wonderful works that God has done. They were talking what God was doing, not about religion. Oh, you got to come to our little meeting here. We're having this little club or that. It was God's up to something big, and He sent His Son to die for you and can change your life and turn it upside down, inside out, right side up. He can change lives. That's what they talk about. We talk about that a lot here. Change lives, right? If the Spirit really is working our life, He will change us, right?
Don't let it go.
Don't let it go, right. And that's what I was going to bring up. The Bible warns us. It's a warning. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't extinguish the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 warns the church, don't put out the Spirit's fire. I think that's a warning to America churches, the churches in America. Don't quench the Spirit because of the abuses you see of faith healers go too far the other way. We just get to be ordered and routinized and institutionalized. And the Spirit, this is what someone said, religion is what you have left when the Spirit leaves the building. Just empty religion. Do we want that? Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would wake up the church to bring fire and life. And it starts with us. Bring revival, Lord. Please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You. All right, we pray. God, we ask that we're all made different ways. We all have different personalities. But please, Lord, we ask that You would wake us up, shake us up, break us, refine us, fire us up with Your passion, Lord, that we might be unapologetic. If we can be fans for the Suns or a fan of the Diamondbacks and show our enthusiasm, help us to show Your enthusiasm and our passion and our love for You. And get out of our cold boxes, get out of our stodgy, stiff lives, and wake up and shake up the world around us with a change in us, with a fire that comes from You. Lord, fire us up. Fire our churches up. Bring life and energy and hope through the resurrection of Christ so that people might accuse us of being drunk, not because of alcohol, but because of the Holy Spirit taking control of us. Where we speak the wonderful works of God with such joy and such passion and such enthusiasm, such confidence, such boldness, such caring, that they see there's something different about us and wonder what it is that we're under the influence of. Help us to be under the influence of You, Lord. Wake up Your churches, shake up Your churches, that we might worship You, Jesus, might point to You and declare the wonderful works of what You're doing in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.